Chapter 11. This way, Alex!
The beautiful cat girl urged as she cradled my injured arm in hers. I'm right behind you, I assured her in a confident tone, even though my wound pulsed with pain. What would happen if I drank more of the fast potion? Una shot me a worried sideways glance as we rushed away from the field of tulips, but I was more worried about the bat bees coming after us than I was about my own wound. Even if the cat girl's clumsiness was wearing off faster than she expected, I was still concerned for her safety. I cast a glance over my shoulder at the path behind us, but I didn't see any of the football-sized insects anywhere. We were in the clear. I breathed a sigh of relief, and then I refocused on the path ahead. It was best not to use the precious elixirs unless absolutely necessary, at least until the doctor identified the rest. The trees here weren't smiling, but I didn't know which direction we were going in the dark. The neon moon cast a hazy green aura between the shadows of the foliage, and it reminded me of the night vision scopes on some video game guns. Una didn't seem to have any issues seeing in the dim light, so I trusted her to lead us in the correct direction.
We're taking a shortcut,
Una said, as if she could read my thoughts.
The desert will be cold this late at night, and I don't want you to catch a chill.
Should we light a torch?
I can see in the dark now.
Una shook her head.
We don't want to attract the attention of anything roaming in the dark. There are
countless ways to die, I remember.
You saved me again, Alex,
Una said, and odd gratitude colored her voice.
I am sorry you are hurt, but I know you are more focused on getting me to safety. How can I ever thank you?
It was nothing. I waved my uninjured hand in a dismissive gesture. As long as you're okay, I'm happy.
Still, I'm very, very glad you are here in all the land, Alex.
Me too, I replied with a tight-lipped smile.
I love you so much. Please be okay.
I'm sure I'll be fine, I said. But I was beginning to feel a little sluggish, and pain radiated up my forearm. The bat bee venom was hard at work in my system, but I put on a brave face for Una. The ground grew more uneven, and we maneuvered up and down a couple of slopes before I realized we were closer to the mountains I'd seen during my first day in all the land. I gazed around with curiosity, but I couldn't see much in the darkness. The moonlight streaked down in patches like a closet light with the door cracked, but the air grew colder and goosebumps dotted my arms. My steps were also getting a little sluggish, but I suspected it was the bat bee venom instead of the opposition effect from the fast potion.
You need more fur,
Una observed as she stroked my shivering arm, and her fuzzy tail caressed my back as we walked.
Maybe we should stop and build a fire until the sun rises.
We could be back in Havenwood before then if we walk all night, right? I asked, and Una nodded in confirmation. I'm okay, I promise. Una glanced down at my rapidly swelling limb with a skeptical expression, but she didn't argue, and for that I was grateful. The courageous cat girl had to release my hand as we climbed over a boulder, and I winced as I maneuvered across with my injured hand. I couldn't put any weight on it, and my fingers would barely curl, so I held it uselessly against my chest. Una watched me closely, and I saw her let out a little breath of relief when I made it across. You're adorable, I chuckled as I allowed her to take my elbow. I can tell you're worried about me, but I'm sure it's going to be fine. I'm the dreamer. A little sting isn't going to take me out.
Let's just hurry,
Una urged as she increased her pace ever so slightly. Una, I said as something tickled my brain. Is something bad going to happen if we don't get the sting treated soon?
Oh, well, the poison could reach your heart or your brain,
Una said in a nonchalant tone, and she shrugged her shoulders.
Or your hand could rot off and have to be cut off.
How long do we have? I swallowed hard.
I'm unsure,
Una said, as her purple eyes scanned the landscape.
I've never been stung by a bat bee before.
How could you not know? You've lived here your whole life. You were the one who knew about the bat bees in the first place.
I am not as wise as some. But we must be quiet, Alex. There could be nightmares lurking nearby.
Do they have a territory or anything? I asked as I lowered my voice to a whisper. How do we know where it's safe?
Havenwood is safe.
But nowhere else?
All the land is a dangerous place, Alex, especially since the Dark King conquered the land.
Well, let's get back to Havenwood, I said, and I raked the fingers of my left hand through my hair. We traversed the rugged terrain for a few more hours, and the arduous task of climbing over rocks and slopes with one hand caused us to fall into a comfortable silence. I wasn't sure where we were or how far we were from Havenwood, but I trusted the catgirl to get us there as quickly as possible. I watched for nightmares everywhere, and while I still hadn't seen any, that didn't mean they weren't there, lurking in the shadows. A shiver ran up my spine, and Una flashed me an encouraging smile.
"Not much further."
"We're doing good," I replied with a confident smile.
"Are you certain?"
Una's purple eyes searched mine for any hint of pain, but she found none, and a smile replaced her worried frown. "Positive," I nodded emphatically to emphasize my words. I began to feel woozy as I bobbed my head up and down, and I cut my overzealous nod short so I didn't lose my balance, but Una didn't notice me falter. Tingles had started to run up to my shoulder from the direction of my injured forearm, and the swelling was getting worse, but I could handle a little pain. I just needed to reach Havenwood, and then I could rest. My feet stumbled over large rocks as they slid down the slope we were on the side of, but I quickly regained my balance.
"Steady now,"
Una said, as she held my arm as firmly as she dared.
"The waterfall is just up ahead. Watch your feet. The ground is untrustworthy."
With the way she described it, I could almost picture a giant mouth opening out of the dirt below my feet to swallow me whole. All the land was a strange place, but I didn't think it was that weird. Then again, what did I know? The two of us approached the waterfall from a different direction than we had previously, so I didn't spot it right away. My head throbbed, and my breathing grew more ragged with each passing moment, but I was determined to make it to Havenwood before I collapsed. Then I heard the sound of rushing water over the rock wall, and I quickened my pace. Una flashed me a sideways smile as her ears twitched with recognition at the sound, and she had to hurry to keep up with me. We were almost to the waterfall when the catgirl's eyes flicked backward, and she froze.
"Alex, something is behind us. I think it's a nightmare."
"Oh, shit," I cursed under my breath, but I didn't slow down. "We're almost there. I can hear the water."
"Me too,"
Una confirmed. I cast curious glances over my shoulder in an effort to see what the catgirl had sensed, but it took me several moments to spot the black, shadowy figure gliding between the tree trunks. Una was right. It was a nightmare. There was no other way to describe it. Dread swept up from my gut, but I swallowed it down and refocused on getting to the waterfall as fast as I could. Una had told me the nightmares could sense fear, so I didn't want to help it out any more than I already was. We reached the waterfall a short while later, but the nightmare still lurked around the edges of the forest. We climbed down from the rocky outcropping as the water flowed over the edge, and then we maneuvered toward the water. As we neared the roaring white wake, the water slid down from the tunnel entrance, and the two of us lunged for the opening in the stone wall with gasps of relief once the water covered the hole once more. Were we safe from the nightmare? Maybe they were afraid of water or something, but Una didn't seem to have the same sense of urgency she'd had a moment prior, so I assumed we were out of the nightmare's reach. I leaned against the cool stone wall with so much gratitude I could have kissed the damp, mossy surface. The nightmare was on the other side of the waterfall, and we were safe at last. The throbbing in my forearm intensified, and my attention was brought back to my injury, but at least we were in the clear now.
"How are you feeling, Alex?"
Una asked in a worried tone, and her violet orbs were like purple velvet in the dim light of the tunnel. "I'm okay. Let's get upstairs. I really want to lay down." Una nodded, took my hand, and led me down the tunnel toward the circle of light at the other end. A moment later, we were beneath the rainbow sky again, and the flowers greeted us with friendly smiles. The shadow of the giant sequoia tree Havenwood was built into fell across our path, and I shivered despite the heat radiating from my body. I was probably running a fever since sweat dappled my forehead despite the chill in my bones. We rushed across the field of tall grass to the base of the tree, and then Una sang the song to open the portal, I wasn't sure if we would go upstairs to the living structures or downstairs to the healing center, but then the cat girl pulled me up the steps toward the boughs of the canopy. The stairs seemed never-ending, and I sucked in my breath with each movement. Una eyed me every other second, and a concerned crease lined her brow, but I knew we were getting closer to my bed, so I trudged on. Then we were at the top of the stairs, and I struggled to keep my head straight, but the next thing I knew, Una was helping me get settled into my bed. The calm eyes of Dr. Kriya appeared above me a moment later, but perhaps a lot of time had passed. It was hard to tell for certain. I slid in and out of consciousness while the doctor scrutinized my stung arm, but she tutted beneath her breath in disapproval.
"How did you even get into this predicament in the first place, Alex?"
Dr. Kriya asked, without looking up from my arm.
"Bat bees don't usually attack unless provoked. We ripped the wings off one,"
Una announced in a pleased tone.
"Alex is helping me gather all the ingredients we need for the healing potion."
"Healing potions don't really exist,"
Dr. Kriya sighed, but I wasn't sure if I was hearing her correctly.
"No, Doctor, they're rare, but they do exist. I told you I would get one no matter what I had to do, and then Alex was sent to me. It has to be a sign."
"There is no such thing as a magic cure,"
the doctor said in a very pessimistic voice.
"The most I can do is to lance the pus and apply a poultice to draw out the poison."
"Do it," I breathed. I was quickly losing strength, but I was trying to hold on to be there for Una. She needed me, so I struggled to push myself up with my uninjured arm, but both women quickly pushed me back down again.
"Rest, Alex,"
Una urged with eyes full of worry.
"I won't leave your side, I promise.
Hold still while I lance and clean the wound,"
the doctor said in a low voice, and her ears wiggled in a comforting manner.
"Una, restrain the arm. This will hurt."
"Yes, doctor."
Una nodded, but she flashed me an apologetic smile before she straddled my arm.
"I'm sorry, Alex."
"Don't even mention it," I said as I gave her a brave grin. "You're just doing what you have to. Besides, I can handle a little pain." The two women exchanged a look, but they didn't argue with me, and then the doctor set about draining my wound. I winced as she sliced a line across the swollen sting mark, but then it felt like a pressure valve released. I squeezed my eyes shut as I waited for the pain to end, but it was a relief to have the pus removed from the swollen wound. When Dr. Kriya squeezed the infected area with both hands on either side of the wound, I lost consciousness. But I blinked my eyes open some time later, and my arm was wrapped in a white bandage.
"He'll be okay now, Una,"
Dr. Kriya murmured to the cat girl, anxiously watching my every move.
"He just needs rest."
"I will stay with him,"
the cat girl insisted, with a stubborn lift of her chin and a wide smile.
"I know how to make him feel better."
"He needs his rest, Una,"
the doctor repeated.
"Not you mating with him while he's trying to recover."
"Aw.
Come with me. You can tell me all about the adventure the two of you had."
"I'll be fine," I smirked. "A little injury isn't going to keep the dreamer down, now is it?"
"All right,"
Una said in a reluctant tone as she hesitantly allowed Dr. Kriya to pull her away from my bed. The two of them paused at the doorway for a brief moment, but then they disappeared from my view, and I surrendered to the call of slumber. I woke up shivering a short while later, and I pulled the blankets closer around me with my unbandaged arm. Then I got too hot, so I kicked the cover off altogether, but this went back and forth for a while as I tried to get comfortable. Una returned after a while, but the doctor was nowhere to be seen. I suppose she did have other patients to look after, and my injury wasn't life-threatening anymore. I wasn't sure how close to death I'd gotten, but I was glad I was in the clear now.
"How are you feeling?"
The beautiful cat girl sat gingerly on the edge of the bed, and she ran her slender fingers through my sweat-drenched hair.
"Your fever must have broken."
"I feel much better," I said, and it was partly true. At least I was conscious now and capable of conversation. I'd take whatever improvements I could as a sign I was on the mend. So I lifted the covers and scooted back to make room for my feline companion. "Want to cuddle?" The cat girl grinned impossibly wide, and she slid into the spot I'd made for her without hesitation. We curled up together with her purring against my chest, and I drifted back into an easy sleep. I didn't know how long we laid like that, but it was peaceful, and I didn't want it to ever end. A few hours later, I heard a knock on the entryway, and I peered across the room to see Zeedee hopping across the threshold.
Is it all right if I enter?
The fur bay squeaked.
I heard you were hurt, and I wanted to come see how you were healing.
Come on in. The more the merrier, right, Una?
Hey, Zeedee.
Here, Zeedee.
The cat girl beckoned the fur bay closer.
Come snuggle with us.
The ball of fur bounced across the room and hopped up onto the low platform bed, and the next thing I knew, she was situated in a spot between my jaw and shoulder. I'd never have imagined I'd add a ball of fur to my list of companions, but I wasn't complaining. Zeedee had never been anything but sweet to me, and I would do anything to keep her safe. The fur bay, the cat girl, and I slept peacefully for a while, but then my eyes popped open, and I couldn't sleep anymore. I snuggled against Una's back, squeezed my eyelids shut, and calmed my breathing. But nothing happened. Green moonlight streamed in through the open window, and I realized I'd slept the entire day away. It had been early morning when Una and I arrived back in Havenwood, but it had felt like no time at all had passed. I suppose healing from a massive sting could really take it out of a man, but I'd started to feel restless by that point. I carefully extracted myself from the sleeping ladies, and I carefully crossed the room in the dark to relieve my bowels. When I was finished, I moved to the window and peered out at the landscape surrounding Havenwood. A cool breeze ruffled the tall grass and blew through my hair, but the land was still and calm. No birds sang, no squirrels chirped, and shadows crept around the edges. It had to be after midnight if the location of the moon was any indication, but I still wasn't entirely sure if time moved the same in all the land or not. I hadn't even seen a single clock since I'd been here. After a while of window watching, I grew sleepy once more, and I crawled back into bed beside Una. Zeedee resituated herself once I got comfortable, and the little furbay sighed with blissful contentment. I wondered briefly how old the furbay was, but it seemed like everything around here had a bit of childish whimsy to it, regardless of their age. My inner child had taken over during my mushroom trip, or something just as strange, but I wasn't fighting it anymore. Tomorrow is a new day, I murmured to myself as I wrapped my arms tightly around my cat girlfriend. The rest of the night passed uneventfully, and I slept until the sun struck my face the next day. The heat of the rays warmed my skin, and I quickly grew uncomfortably hot with the heat of Una's furry tail pressed against my belly. I shifted, and the beautiful cat girl roused with a yawn.
Good morning, Alex.
Una murmured as she blinked sleep away from her large violet orbs.
How are you feeling?
That's your favorite question now, I said with a wry smirk. I'm feeling even better than I was before. I even got out of bed last night while you were sleeping.
You should have woken me up.
Nah, you and Zeedee were both super adorable in my bed.
I enjoyed it very much,
Zeedee giggled, and she hopped up and down in front of my face.
Good morning, dreamer.
Good morning. I laughed at her enthusiasm for life, but I had to admit it was contagious.
I have to go complete my chores,
the furbay informed us, and without any further ado, she jumped down from my bed and hopped over to the entrance. Dr. Kriya passed by the furbay as Zeedee left, and the mouse-eared older woman smiled softly when she met my gaze.
You are looking much improved, Alex the Dreamer,
the doctor said with kind eyes.
Allow me to inspect the wound and apply clean bandages.
Sure. I grinned. Do whatever you want. I'm ready to get out of this bed.
He already did once,
Una informed her in a conspiratorial tone, and the doctor tutted in my direction. Then the white strips of fabric wrapped around my arm were unbound, and the doctor leaned over my forearm to inspect my wound more closely. I couldn't get a good look at it around her light brown hair, but I could feel her poke it in a couple of spots. A fresh bandage was applied, and then my injured forearm was placed gently beside me once more.
Alex, you must rest in order to heal.
Dr. Kriya shook her head.
Promise me you will stay in bed today.
Is it really that bad? I asked with lifted eyebrows.
You have another day of healing ahead of you,
the doctor confirmed with a sad smile.
Enjoy it, dreamer. This will be the last bit of relaxation you get.
Had Una told her about my possibly magic sperm? I swallowed hard, but I flashed the doctor a grateful smile. Thanks. The doctor dipped her head, smiled at Una, and then left again. But I was left with a boring day in bed ahead of me. So I let out a deep sigh.
It's not so bad,
Una said as she sat down beside me. No, I said as I pulled her closer. I'm glad you're here, Una. I'd be bored out of my mind without you.
I promised I would remain by your side no matter what,
the cat girl reminded me with a proud lift of her chin. I received multiple visitors throughout the day, but Una stayed good on her word, and the beautiful cat girl stayed by my side the entire day. Lena made her way over to my bed in a slow crawl, and I had to grit my teeth to resist the urge to pick her up and carry her over. The sloth lady grinned as she approached the bed, and then she pulled herself up over the edge. She sat beside Una, and the two discussed how the sting had occurred. Una's description made me sound heroic and brave, and I was glad that was the version of the tale that made it back.
That sounds scary,
the sloth lady said with widened eyes and raised eyebrows.
I'm glad you made it back.
Alex would never let anything happen to me,
Una declared with her chest puffed out in pride. I listened to the two ladies talking for a while, but then I started to fall back asleep, and Lena stroked my hair gently until I passed out. The sloth lady was gone again when I woke back up, but it had been sweet of her to visit. It seemed as though I had more friends in this magical dreamland than I'd ever had in real life. Miss Maggie was my next visitor, and the rotund pig lady carried a tray of food in her hands as she crossed the threshold.
I thought you might be hungry,
Miss Maggie grunted as she placed the tray across my lap. Thanks, I said as I scooted into a sitting position. Placed on the tray was a cheeseburger and French fries, which had been exactly what I'd been craving. I still needed to figure out exactly how the kitchen managed to make the perfect meal every time, but that would be a quest for another day. I chowed down on the cheeseburger, and I moaned with delight as the juicy beef hit my tongue. The cheese was perfectly melted, and the lettuce was crisp, while the tomato was tangy. Oh, I couldn't have asked for a better meal, and I scarfed it down in the blink of an eye.
Might try to breathe a little next time,
Miss Maggie snorted, but I could tell she was pleased with my appetite.
Thank you for the food, I said again as I swiped the back of my hand across my mouth.
I'd hit the spot perfectly.
Well, you need to keep up your strength if you're running around with Aruna,
Miss Maggie said, and she shot the cat girl a reprimanding look.
And you. You know better than to take the dreamer on such a dangerous quest before he is ready.
Alex is ready. We got the first ingredient, Mags. We're one step closer to having everything we need to make a healing potion.
Miss Maggie shook her head but didn't comment, and she took my now empty tray off my lap before she stuck it under her arm.
Alex, the dreamer!
May flourished into a deep, low bow as she entered my dwelling.
You dare be injured when there is darkness to vanquish!
The darkness can wait a day, can't it? I'll get it later. May peered down her beak at me and blinked for a moment, but then she nodded.
Indeed, vanquishing is such a tiring task.
I'm glad you understand. I inclined my head. Care to join us for a spell?
Indubitably.
May chortled as she chugged on her pipe.
What spell are you casting?
Not casting any spells, just resting for a little while. My bed was very crowded a short while later when Lena and Zidi both returned, but I didn't mind. I was highly enjoying being surrounded by all my new friends while I healed from the bat bee sting, and I almost wished the moment would last forever. Una stayed not only by my side, but literally attached to my side, all day long, and the frisky feline kept whispering sexual offers of blowjobs and sex in my ears. It was highly tempting, but unfortunately, my room was crowded with visitors, so the cat girl could only purr into my ear, lick my neck, and quickly suck on my fingers when no one was looking. I had a feeling she was going to jump on me the moment we were alone, and I had to admit I was hoping that was the case. Lena told me stories about the best leaves she ever ate, and Zidi entertained me with a bouncy, jumping dance. May sang a song encouraging me to heal swiftly so I could destroy all darkness, and the sound of chatter filled the air. Dr. Kriya eventually returned, and she chased everyone except Una away from my room. Then she rebandaged my wound and scrutinized me for signs of illness. I was feeling much more like myself, and I was anxious to hear her give me the all clear, but I wasn't going to argue with the medical professional. The mouse-eared older woman had managed to identify a few more of the potions thanks to the painstaking notes she had already taken, but the vast majority of them remained unknown. My fever came back, but then broke again sometime in the night, and the bedding was drenched with sweat. I stripped off my clothes and laid back down beside the sexy cat girl. I had to be feeling better because I was keenly aware of the way she fit up against me in ways I hadn't been while ill. She still hadn't left my side for a moment, so I knew she needed her sleep as well. But fuck if I wasn't tempted to take her up on her earlier offers. The next day, I awoke with energy to spare, and I tickled Una awake. The beautiful cat girl cackled with delight as she rolled away from my roaming fingers, but then the two of us left the bed for the first time in over a day. My legs were a little weak, but I was beyond ready for some different scenery, so I decided we needed to take the short trek to the dining hall.
The dreamer survived!
Our arrival signaled cheers and chants of my name, and I waved at the people of Havenwood as I sat at my usual table.
We're saved!
Alex! Alex! Alex!
May situated herself on my left side, while Una guarded my injured right arm. The dodo woman eyed me curiously as she pulled on her pipe, but then her face was shrouded with smoke.
Dreamer Alex,
May said in a thoughtful voice.
May I join you on your quest to defeat the Dark King? I have long desired to end his reign of terror, personally.
I would love it if you joined me. I flashed the bird lady a grateful smile. I've only used a sword a couple of times now, so I've been hoping you would be willing to show me some pointers. That way I don't die in some imaginative way.
Bat bee sting is a very creative death,
May complimented with an incline of her head.
Although, I am glad it was a failure.
You and me both. I want to die an old man with lots of hot babes on my arm. I was only partially joking.
Ah, then you desire to be king of all the land. This is an arduous task. You will need all the help you can get. I agree.
You'll help me train. I raised my eyebrows in surprise.
The sooner the darkness is defeated, the better.
May declared with a firm nod.
What about the potion ingredients and our imprisoned friends?
One thing at a time, I said as I raked a hand through my hair. I need to get stronger first. May, will you help me?
I am at your service and disposal, Dreamer,
May said with another incline of her head.
The Dark King will be running scared in no time.
Alex, good to see you up and about.
Dr. Kriya approached the table and caught my eye, but she didn't take a seat.
Will you stay in Havenwood for one more day while I monitor your recovery? I wouldn't want you to be out in the wilderness if it worsens.
Sure, I'll hang out for a bit. I exchanged a look with Una, and the cat girl nodded. We need to get the other ingredients for the healing potion before we do anything else, but I need some training first, so this is actually perfect. I wasn't about to let anything like a minor setback get to me when I was the prophesied dreamer. Instead, I would use the situation to my advantage. A few hours later, May and I were at the base of the tree, fake fighting with swords, and the bird lady was barking out instructions to me as we circled each other in the grass. I learned more about the mysterious woman who'd come to our aid in the Mushroom Valley, but the more I found out, the more curious I became.
So, you don't drink any potions?
I've never touched the poisons in my life. I refuse to cause any weakness in my body that could prove disadvantageous to defeating his utmost evilness, the Dark King.
After we parried blades back and forth for a while, May pulled out a few other weapons for me to practice with. She had axes, a mace, daggers, and a halberd, and I was surprised at my own knowledge. I supposed video games were relevant after all. Do you have any family? I asked the beautiful adventurer.
None survived,
the dodo woman murmured, before she changed the subject, and I knew there was a painful memory there. I decided to drop it for now, and I would work on getting to know the beautiful woman better before I pressed her to open up more. My skills improved bit by bit as the day progressed, but May's talents still far surpassed my own. We called it a day once the sun began to angle toward the western horizon, and May and I returned to the dining hall with joyful, exhausted smiles plastered on our faces.
Care to ingest some giggle juice?
May inquired with an arched eyebrow.
You took the words right out of my mouth, I replied as I clapped my hands. Race you up the stairs?
I would have said the very same thing.
We were almost to the dining hall when bells began to suddenly ring throughout the air, and they were so loud I had to cover my ears and shout at May in order for her to even hear me.
What's going on?
Una dashed down the rope bridge and careened into me, but her violet eyes were full of fear when they met mine.
Oh, Alex, there you are!
Una gasped as she collapsed into my arms.
They found us! The Clover Cards!
I turned to look toward the edge of the horizon, and then I realized the floating dots of light I could see were actually torches, and there were tons of them. The torchlight dots illuminated the edge of the grassy field, but then a weight dropped in my gut. We were outnumbered, and we had nowhere else to go. Havenwood wasn't a safe haven anymore.